You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Angel Mason Broaddus.
And one of the things that we are finding more recently is that what is inspiring people in the past, it was a lot of telling the story of the negative, what happens if you don't help. But now it's really about the uplifting message and being able to see, help people see the impact that they make and see how their contributions have changed lives. So it's a lot more uplifting and inspiring stories. It's a lot less of a heavy and sad story that we're telling.
Angel, along with her wife, Christine, is the co-owner of the fabulous do-gooding, creative, and colorful marketing and PR agency, Puzzle Pieces Marketing. Founded in 2009, PPM focuses on social good and providing services that benefit their community, working primarily with nonprofits and mission-driven businesses to develop strategies that inspire action. In the spirit of giving back, Angel also serves as a member of the board of directors for North County Philanthropy Council, Moonlight Cultural Foundation, and Point Loma Nazarene Marketing Advisory Board. Angel, welcome to On Brand.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that introduction.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about your work, but I'm always captivated by the names that people connect with. And I feel like with a name like Puzzle Pieces, there has to be a story, a meaning there.
Absolutely. It's so funny that you ask, because when I started the business, when I founded it in 2009, I initially went with Mason Consulting, something very corporate, something very mainstream. And I changed it very quickly because when I started, my ego told me that every service that I had to offer, all of my clients would want everything. And what I quickly realized was that that was not the case. Even though I thought everything that I did was amazing and fabulous, of course, I realized that I needed to be able to fit in where they needed me and provide them the services that complemented what they were doing already. So I quickly changed the name to better fit what it was that we were doing and what we were offering. And that's how I ended up with Puzzle Pieces Marketing, because I realized we really needed to fit in where our clients needed us and not try to offer everything that was in our suite of services.
Well, I think that is a great story. And certainly I know we have a lot of marketing services agencies listening in, and I know that's a journey many of us have been on. Me, of brand-driven digital, used to have my last name right out there in the business, and you bring a great point of the message that you send of a more corporate feel versus actually starting to be the first chapter in a story that you're telling about what it's like to do business with you.
Absolutely. And that was really what I had to think about and really consider, is who we are as a business. And it wasn't, you know, about just what it was that we had to offer, but really what our clients needed us to provide to them, and really think outside of myself and think about, you know, the space that we played in and really what we needed to provide to our clients.
So you talk about the space that you play in, and I think that that's, to me, beyond the name, the work that you focus on. And I love your descriptor also, fabulous, do-gooding, creative, and colorful marketing and PR agency. But the fact that the do-gooding in there is your focus on social good and the nonprofit community as well. What led you down this path? Was that always the focus, or did you gradually narrow what it was that you were working on?
Yeah, it was very gradual. When we started, both of us come from healthcare, so let me start with that. And I got most of my background is in healthcare and medical device marketing. And when I started the business, I really wanted to focus on small businesses that were more micro businesses, solopreneurs, and really helping them get their foot in the door and get their start and establishing and building their brand. And then in 2017, we really made a shift in our company and really wanted to narrow our focus. During that time between 2009 and 2017, myself as well as Christine had sat on board of directors for nonprofit organizations and really got to better understand the ins and outs of how they work, how they get their funding, what they need to really tell their stories, and realized that that was a much better fit for who we were, what we were doing in our personal life, and really trying to bridge that gap with what we were doing professionally. Both of us understand and know that we don't live on this earth for free, and the price that we pay is to give back and to do good for our community. And it just made sense when we were going through our own personal rebranding in 2017 that we would really focus our efforts on what made us happy and what aligned with our core values. And that's when we decided that we would work primarily with nonprofits and mission-driven businesses and really helping them tell their story and supporting their mission.
Well, I think that in and of itself is a great story. So as you've found that both happiness and focus, what would you say is, if someone is just chatting with you about nonprofit marketing, what is the biggest difference with marketing in other sectors, in the corporate sector?
The biggest difference is, obviously, it's really about storytelling. We have to be able to connect people to their cause and their mission and what it is that they do. But one of the biggest challenges is that we're oftentimes marketing to people who won't ever benefit from their services. So, for example, if it's a nonprofit that that provides services to homeless youth, we're having to tell their story and appeal and inspire funders and donors and volunteers to get involved and support their cause, where they might not ever benefit from the services that that nonprofit provides. So it's a different type of marketing because we really have to think more about how we engage our audience and how we really inspire them to get involved and support their mission, when we know that in most cases they're never going to see the fruits of their labors or you know what it is that we're asking them to do, because it's not a product or a service that they can purchase or buy or a tangible that they can feel. It really is about them doing something to better the lives of other people in their community.
So how do you tackle that closing what you're describing is really kind of a psychological gap in support of a service, something you may not need? How do you tackle that work?
It really is about first us getting to know and getting down to the root of who our clients are and what it is they do and why, because we have to be able to help them tell their stories. And it's oftentimes a challenge because the nonprofits that we work with are so focused on doing the work that they don't all oftentimes focus on being able to articulate to someone else what it is that they do and the impact that they make. So that's where we have to first start, is by making sure that we are able to really get in there and have a good understanding of who they are and what they do and the impact that they make, because we have to be able to carry that message for them. And then it really is appealing to a much broader audience. And one of the things that we are finding more recently is that what is inspiring people in the past, it was a lot of telling the story of the negative, what happens if you don't help. But now it's really about the uplifting message and being able to help people see the impact that they make and see how their contributions have changed lives. So it's a lot more uplifting and inspiring stories. It's a lot less of a heavy and sad story that we're telling. So we really are trying to change that perspective and being able to let people see the impact that they make on the other side of the spectrum. And like I said, with nonprofits that support people that have substance abuse, most of us know someone in our life or who are closest to us who have had some sort of issue like that. And being able to see the impact that our clients are making and how they've helped people turn their lives around is really, it's really starting to make a huge impact and being able to get more people involved in supporting their mission and their cause. So, you know, it really is about telling a story and being able to see the, have people see the impact that these organizations make.
Well, you know, when you said all of that and you talk about versus the heavy story, it really sounds like, I thought, you know, that's a delicate balance too, because, you know, the heavy stories bring in a lot of the tension and kind of set up the impact. But it occurs to me that I think a lot of times folks in the storytelling of that maybe have that balance off a bit to lean on the metaphor and are coming down on the heavy story and not getting that impact in there. Would you say that that's the case?
That absolutely, and that's what we're seeing. And, you know, there obviously is a time and a place to be able to lead with that heavy story and to capture people's attention. But we can't leave them there, because that's when we start to hear people wanting to tune out. They don't want to hear any more negativity, especially in this year where there's so much that's going on and people want to see positive stories. People want to be uplifted. And so, again, it is a very delicate balance, because we have to explain to them the need and the why. And that's obviously the negative part of the story. But at the same time, we don't want them hanging on that negativity either. We want to be able to show them that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And with your help, with your contributions, with your support, this is how we get there. And this is the why. So it's definitely a balance that we have to take and be able to connect people with, connect their audience with their story.
Hey, On Brand listeners, we talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged super fans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show.
So I want to keep going with this theme, because you talked about that balance and especially this year, and I want to use that as a point to incorporate some other aspects of your work. I know specifically you talk about this year and the social justice movement, and that's been such a big part of the year that was 2020. This is our last show, last new show of this year. And in thinking of that, I want to get back to, boy, I feel like we're coming back to balance a bit again, because there are some big things that we have to address, and people are really starting to think about systemic racism in a way that they haven't before. But it is running up, I don't know if it's against, but this challenge, this balance challenge again of, but this is such a hard year, too much negative. How do we start some of these difficult conversations at a time when people are really challenged with the negative, but we need to?
Absolutely. And it's funny that you bring that up, because we just were on a conversation, Christine and I were having a conversation last night with some of our friends, talking about how difficult it is to start those conversations, but how necessary they are at the same time. And I think it depends on how you approach it as well. I am very much an in-your-face type of person, and there's no getting around it. You have to have the conversations. But what we realize is that we have to meet people where they are. And sometimes people aren't ready to start the conversation if you come at them with so much of the negativity. I think it's more about being able to see the impact that people are making in their own personal lives and really focusing on that. So like you were saying, it is a balance. And I think that there are different approaches that we have to take. And sometimes it really is about starting a conversation with small bites and not really focus on, like you said, the systemic racism, but just really talking about, you know, what is it that you are doing in your personal life that you think you could be doing differently, and challenging other people to do the same. And I think that part of the problem is that we are all afraid to challenge ourselves. And by not looking internally, we're also not giving other people the opportunity to challenge themselves and to have an open door, or, you know, a seat at the table to have those conversations. And I think it's about, again, it's about meeting people where they are. And if there are some of us are not in a place where we're ready to focus on the negative, but really focus on the positive. And I think that we have to start small and just really trying to get as many people on board as we possibly can. And we can't do that if we're excluding somebody because they're not ready to dive in as deeply as we are. For, I guess, lack of a better way of saying it, it's just taking those little wins and really trying to get as many people on board as possible and trying to meet people where they are and having, and really doing an assessment of, is this person ready to jump all in, or is it more about them just trying to see what small pieces of this puzzle that they can add to the overall picture.
Well, I love what you said about small bites and these pieces, because I think, you know, even the idea of systemic racism is necessarily big, and I don't want to diminish that, but I think the importance of understanding how to tackle it is found in the small bites that you just mentioned of these individual pieces, and even the internal reckoning of what it is that you can do has an impact and helps to start to have others to have an impact as well. So on that note of what you can do, you leading a marketing and PR agency, what are some of the types of questions that as marketing and PR agencies look inwardly in wrapping up this year and in thinking, hopefully more so in moving into the year ahead, thinking as we set our goals as businesses, in thinking about other things beyond the bottom line? And certainly many businesses have been challenged with COVID and other things, but hopefully we're thinking in a bigger sense about what we can do. Where can we start with some of those small bites as marketing service firms?
One of the things that we have heard is that especially agencies are having a difficult time with is how they get their clients involved in these conversations. When all of this racial unrest and things were going on in the summer, what we found is that a lot of companies weren't willing to be involved in the conversation. And what we as marketing agencies really need to do is be able to help them navigate through that and making certain that they're able to be involved and be a part of the conversation. Because if they're not, they seem tone deaf and they seem like they don't care. But at the same time, we understand that as running a business, you have to be sensitive to your entire audience. And I think that that's part of the problem is that we are, as agencies, so afraid to walk our clients through that. But I think that that's part of the job that we have to do as a branding agency is really help our clients understand their voice and the message that they have to carry as a brand. And so first and foremost, one of the things that we noticed is that there are a lot of companies during the summer that were putting up their black squares or saying that they support the black community, but there was nothing that they were doing after that. So as an agency, I think that we really need to help our clients understand that those are just little steps, obviously, but behind the scenes, you also need to be doing the work. So if you're going to get involved in the conversation, you need to be able to follow that up, because there very well could be somebody that asks you afterwards, well, what are you doing? If you say you support the Black community, what are you doing to support the Black community? What are you doing to have a more diverse team? What are you doing to make sure that you're improving the lives of people of color in your community? And if you're not able to answer those questions, then you need to really sit down and reevaluate your organization and figure out how you have those conversations, how you answer those questions. And before you start dipping your toe in the water, you need to have a full assessment of who you are and how you're going to tackle those questions. And I think that as an agency, it's definitely an important position for us to be in helping our clients navigate through that. And, you know, moving forward, I don't think that this is going to go away. And so for next year, we really, as marketing companies, need to be able to internally look at ourselves as well. And like you said, it's not just about the bottom line. It's also about what type of clients you work with and what kind of money you are willing to take. If you have clients that aren't willing to jump into those conversations, and that is something that's important to you, are these really clients that you want to continue working with? I know for us, we have had to make some decisions about how we spend our time, how we volunteer, what kind of clients that we take. And we always thought that we were one of the companies that were on the forefront of this social injustice and trying to do better for our community. And we realized that there were organizations that we were even members of that really weren't stepping up and weren't doing enough. And we've had to make the decision to sever ties with those organizations because this summer really did shine a light on who was ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work and who wasn't. And we had to make the decision that if they weren't willing to do the work, that it probably wasn't the best. It wasn't the best fit for us. So I think, as an agency and as a company that supports other organizations and being able to navigate through this, we had to also be able to set an example of how we were going to handle ourselves and how we were going to handle our business.
I think that whole path, it will be familiar to many, and if not a path that they've walked, but a path that folks have thought through. And as you talked about having these types of conversations, I want to isolate that critical first step back in the spirit of your small bites, because that's a big small step, if I can be oxymoronic for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, if someone wants to be brave and take those first steps, because that is, we've been told for years and years to, you know, that we don't have those awkward conversations with our clients who we value. But if we want to start that work and knowing that it might lead to a divergent path, do you have any advice on what those first steps are, what they can look like?
The first steps are to ask the questions. And, you know, like I said, you really need to do an assessment of where your clients are. If they are ready to jump in full force, that's great. If they're not, then it's our responsibility to help them navigate through that. So first thing is to ask the questions and to get an assessment of where they are and how much they want to jump in. And so I'll give, you know, as an example of what was going on this summer, we had to ask questions of our clients who weren't necessarily as vocal about what they supported and have a very delicate conversation about, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, how do you feel about your messaging? Do you think it is strong enough, or does it really reflect on who you are and the your positions on what's going on in the world, not just with the racial injustice, but also with just, the coronavirus and what was going on with, the businesses being shut down locally. So we really had to sit down with our clients and have a conversation about where they are and how they wanted to approach these conversations and then help them with their messaging. So again, if it was a client that said, you know, we're really not ready to be as far as vocal about it, we still had to make sure that we understood how they were going to approach that when people asked them questions. And maybe they didn't want to be as outward about it, but internally they were doing an assessment of, you know, we're really looking at how diverse our team is and what we can be doing more. And those are conversations that obviously we had to have with them. And it may not have been as public, but when someone asks the question, they need to be able to answer it. So it really is, like I said, about meeting your clients where they are, but it has to start with having a conversation. So if you have a client that's not ready to go in full force, you at least need to start having a conversation with them about, okay, well, what is our messaging going to be when people start asking these questions? Because we need to be prepared. And so I think that that's one way to get them to start thinking about what it is they need to be doing to be going further, even though they're not there now. But if you don't start the conversation, there's no reason for them to get on board with even thinking about where they are as an organization and what they should and need to be doing differently.
Well, that is great advice and a lot to think about. And again, I love the overall idea of getting at this with small bites, because I think that's what it's going to take. And as we look ahead into a new year, that certainly offers us a path forward.
Absolutely.
As we've talked about so many different things here in our time together today, from small bites to big steps and everything in between, and the challenging year that it's been, I want to lighten it up as we begin to wrap up a little bit and ask Angel for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Well, one brand that always comes to mind, and I feel like they do it so right, is Dollar Shave Club. It amazes me how they're able to make personal items so fun. And we subscribe to them, and I'm always looking forward to what's coming in their pack, and so that I can read their little funnies. And so it's an organization that we follow very closely, because I love how they brand themselves and how they are just very much out of the box thinkers. They show so much personality, and I think it's important, again, so for people to be able to connect with your organization if you are just very personal and being able to show your personality. So it's a brand that I always appreciate, and they always seem to make me laugh with their branding.
That is a great example, and certainly always smiles abound when they send their package with the mm-hmm. latest installment of the bathroom minutes out there.
So. That's right.
Angel, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
We obviously have our website, Puzzle Pieces Marketing, but I think the best way for people to really get to know our personality is on our social media. Our Instagram is Puzzle Pieces Marketing. We're on Twitter, PZL Pieces Marketing, MKPG, and Facebook we're also on. And if you really want to get to know our personality, you should find us on TikTok. We're Puzzle Pieces Marketing on TikTok, because we like to do a lot of crazy videos to keep ourselves sane during all of this quarantine time where we're not going into the office. So we're on social. We're very social, and we like to engage with our audience, and again, like for them to get to see our personalities.
Well, that is great, and we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Angel, thanks for being on brand with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about the work that we do and who we are. It's very close to our heart, so thank you for your time this morning.
Awesome. And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment, rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. As mentioned, this is our last new show of 2020, but On Brand will be back in the new year with all sorts of great, crazy smart guests for you once again. Until 2021. I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.